contains more than 10,000 different phytochemicals. It may never be possible to extract the precise symphony of nutrients found in vegetation and place it in a pill. Isolated nutrients extracted from food may never offer the same level of disease protective effects of whole natural foods as nature designed them. Fruits and vegetables contain a variety of nutrients, which work in subtle synergies, and many of these nutrients cannot be isolated or extracted. Phytochemicals from a variety of plant foods work together to become much more potent at detoxifying carcinogens and protecting against cancer than when taken individually as isolated compounds. Authorities join the unrefined plant food bandwagon. After years of examining the accumulating evidence, 8 top health organizations joined forces and agreed to encourage Americans to eat more unrefined plant food and less food from animal sources, as revealed in the dietary guidelines published in the Journal of the American Heart Association. These authorities are the Nutrition Committee of the American Heart Association, the American Cancer Society, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Council on Cardiovascular Disease in the Young, the Council on Epidemiology and Prevention, the American Dietetic Association, the Division of Nutrition Research of the National Institutes of Health, and the American Society for Clinical Nutrition. Their unified guidelines are a giant step in the right direction. Their aim is to offer protection against the major chronic diseases in America, including heart disease and cancer. Quote, "The emphasis is on eating a variety of foods, mostly fruit and vegetables, with very little simple sugar or high-fat foods, especially animal foods," end quote, said Abby Block, Ph.D., R.D., then chair of the American Cancer Society. Based on a culmination of years of research, these health experts' conclusion was that too much animal-source food is one of the leading causes of heart disease, cancer, strokes, diabetes, obesity, etc., all the major chronic diseases that cost 1.4 million Americans their lives each year, more than two-thirds of all deaths in the United States. The phytochemical revolution. We are on the verge of a revolution. Substances newly discovered in broccoli and cabbage sprouts sweep toxins out of cells. Substances found in nuts and beans prevent damage to our cells' DNA. Other compounds in beets, peppers, and tomatoes fight cancerous changes in cells. Oranges and apples protect our blood vessels from damage that could lead to heart disease. Nature's chemoprotective army is alert and ready to remove our enemies and shield us from harm. Hardly a day goes by when some new study doesn't proclaim the health-giving properties of fruits, vegetables, and beans. Unprocessed plant foods contain thousands of compounds, most of which have not yet been discovered, that are essential for maintaining health and maximizing genetic potential. Welcome to the phytochemical revolution. Phytochemicals, or plant-derived chemicals, occur naturally in plants. Phyto means plant. These nutrients, which scientists are just starting to discover and name, have tremendously beneficial effects on human physiology. The effects of our not consuming sufficient amounts of them are even more astounding: premature death from cancer and atherosclerosis. Eating a wide variety of raw and conservatively cooked plant foods, such as steamed vegetables, is the only way we can ensure that we get a sufficient amount of these essential health-supporting elements. Taking vitamin and mineral supplements or adding some vitamins to processed foods will not prevent the diseases associated with eating a diet containing a low percentage of calories from whole natural foods. Scientists cannot formulate into pills nutrients that have not yet been discovered. If the pills did contain sufficient amounts of all the phytonutrients and other essential substances, we would have to swallow a soup bowl full of pills and powders. To date, researchers have discovered more than 10,000 phytochemicals. No supplement can contain a sufficient amount. Thankfully, you can get all these nutrients today by eating a wide variety of plant-based foods. Please bear in mind that I am not against nutritional supplements. In fact, I recommend various supplements to many of my patients with various health problems, and a high-quality multivitamin, multimineral to almost everyone. I do not recommend that most people consume supplements containing vitamin A, isolated beta-carotene, or folic acid, as there are risks associated with excess consumption of these nutrients. The point to be emphasized is that supplements alone cannot offer optimal protection against disease, and that you cannot make an unhealthy diet into a healthy one by consuming supplements. You cannot buy your health in a bottle. You must earn it. When your nutrient intake is out of balance, health problems may result. For example, beta-carotene has been touted as a powerful antioxidant and anti-cancer vitamin. However, in recent years, we have discovered that beta-carotene is only one of about 500 carotenoids. Scientists are finding that taking beta-carotene supplements is not without risk, and supplements are certainly a poor substitute for the real thing, the assortment of various carotenoid compounds found in plants. The reason researchers believed beta-carotene had such a powerful anti-cancer effect was that populations with high levels of beta-carotene in their bloodstream had exceedingly low rates of cancer. More recently, we found out that these people were protected against cancer because of hundreds of carotenoids and phytochemicals in the fruits and vegetables they were consuming. It wasn't that beta-carotene was responsible for the low incidence of cancer. It merely served as a flag for those populations with a high fruit and vegetable intake. Unfortunately, many scientists confuse the flag for the ship. Recently, large-scale studies have shown that taking beta-carotene, or vitamin A, in supplemental form may not be such a great idea. In finished trials, taking beta-carotene supplements failed to prevent lung cancer and actually increased its incidence. This study was halted when the researchers discovered that the death rate from lung cancer was 28% higher among participants who had taken the high amounts of beta-carotene and vitamin A. Furthermore, the death rate from heart disease was 17% higher for those who had taken the supplements than for those just given a placebo. Another study showed a similar correlation between beta-carotene supplementation and increased occurrence of prostate cancer. At this point, as a result of these European studies, as well as similar studies conducted here in the United States, articles in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, The Lancet, and the New England Journal of Medicine all advise us to avoid taking beta-carotene supplements. A meta-analysis of the studies on this subject in 2007 recognized a 16% increased mortality in people who took vitamin A supplements and a 7% increased mortality in people who took beta-carotene supplements. We can learn a lesson from this research. A high intake of isolated beta-carotene may impair the absorption of other carotenoids. Taking beta-carotene or vitamin A may hinder carotenoid anti-cancer activity from zeaxanthin, alpha-carotene, lycopene, lutein, and many other crucial plant-derived carotenoids. When my patients ask what multivitamin they should use, I tell them I'd prefer they take a high-quality multi that does not contain vitamin A or plain beta-carotene. See drfurman.com. A high intake of just one nutrient, when nature has combined it with many others, may make things worse, not better. We humans, especially physicians, are notorious for interfering with nature, thinking we know better. Sometimes we do. All too often, we don't. Only later, when it may be too late, do we realize that, in fact, we have made things worse. While it still may take decades longer to understand how whole foods promote health, we must accept the fact that the foods found in nature are ideally suited to the biological needs of the species. Quote, "The most compelling evidence of the last decade has indicated the importance of protective factors, largely unidentified in fruits and vegetables," end quote, said Walter C. Willett, MD, PhD, chairman of the Department of Nutrition at Harvard School of Public Health and a speaker at the American Association for Cancer Research. In other words, a diet in which fruits, vegetables, and other natural plant foods supply the vast majority of calories affords us powerful protection against disease. Phytochemicals in their natural state are potent cancer inhibitors. For example, a study published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute reported that men who ate 3 or more servings of cruciferous vegetables a week had a 41% reduced risk of prostate cancer compared with men who ate less than 1 serving a week. Cruciferous vegetables, such as broccoli and cabbage, are high in isothiocyanates, which activate enzymes present in all cells that detoxify carcinogens. Eating a variety of other vegetation lowered risk even further. Green vegetables, onions, and leeks also contain organosulfur phytonutrients that inhibit abnormal cellular changes that eventually lead to cancer. A wide variety of wholesome plant-based foods is the only real anti-cancer strategy. The accompanying chart lists dozens of the many anti-cancer substances found in natural plant foods. These include flavonoids, indoles, and lignans, just to name a few. To see the full list, please refer to the PDF at drfurman.com/ETL graphics. The list above is only a small sample of beneficial compounds, and more are being discovered daily. Cancer prevention studies attempting to dissect the precise ingredients or combination of ingredients in fruits and vegetables are ongoing, but these studies, like the many others before them, are likely to be a huge waste of resources. There are simply too many protective factors that work synergistically to expect significant benefit from taking a few isolated substances. These beneficial compounds have overlapping and complementary mechanisms of action. They inhibit cellular aging, induce detoxification enzymes, bind carcinogens in the digestive tract, and fuel cellular repair mechanisms. Cancer is much more preventable than treatable. The process of carcinogenesis entails an accumulation of mutations or damage to our DNA, the cellular blueprint, over the course of 20 to 40 years. You must start protecting yourself today, not after you find out you have cancer. Cancer is much more preventable than treatable. Instead, many try to dig a well after their house is on fire. The process of cellular disintegration is extremely prolonged, and we know that many pre-neoplastic lesions, abnormal but not yet cancer, disappear spontaneously. Studies on both humans and animals have shown that plant-derived nutrients are able to prevent the occurrence of, and even reverse, DNA damage that may later result in cancer. Fortunately, we have the potential to suppress the progression of cancer in its early stages by how we choose to eat. The ability to remove and fix these partially damaged cells is proportional to their exposure to phytochemicals. When we consume a sufficient variety and quantity of phytochemical substances to maximally arm our immune defenses against cancer, we afford ourselves the ability to repair DNA damage, detoxify cancer-causing agents, and resist disease in general. These same substances also activate other immune-enhancing mechanisms that improve our defenses against viruses and bacteria, making our body disease-resistant in general. Green plant foods versus animal foods. So now you know that it is not merely excess fat that causes disease. It is not merely eating empty calorie food that causes disease. And it is not merely the high consumption of animal foods such as dairy, meat, chicken, and fish that leads to premature death in America. These factors are important, but what is more crucial is what we are missing in our diets by not eating enough produce. Let's take a look at some more of the reasons why plant foods are so protective and essential for human health. To illustrate the powerful nutrient density of green vegetables, let us compare the nutrient density of steak with the nutrient density of broccoli and other greens. Now, which food has more protein, broccoli or steak? You were wrong if you thought steak. Steak has only 6.4 grams of protein per 100 calories, and broccoli has 11.1 grams, almost twice as much. Keep in mind that most of the calories in meat come from fat. Green vegetables are mostly protein. All calories must come from fat, carbohydrate, or protein. Popeye was right. Green packs a powerful punch. The biggest animals, elephants, gorillas, rhinoceroses, hippopotamuses, and giraffes, all eat predominantly green vegetation. How did they get the protein to get so big? Obviously, greens pack a powerful protein punch. In fact, all protein on the planet was formed from the effect of sunlight on green plants. The cow didn't eat another cow to form the protein in its muscles, which we call steak. The protein wasn't formed out of thin air. The cow ate grass. Not that protein is such a big deal or some special nutrient to be held in high esteem. I am making this point because most people think animal products are necessary for a diet to include adequate protein. I'm merely illustrating how easy it is to consume more than enough protein while at the same time avoiding risky, cancer-promoting effects of too many animal products. Consuming more plant protein is also the key to achieving safe and successful weight loss. The accompanying chart compares the amounts of protein, saturated fat, various vitamins and minerals, as well as the overall phytochemicals and antioxidants contained in 100-calorie servings of broccoli, steak, kale, and romaine lettuce. Once again, we see that broccoli has more than twice the amount of protein per calorie than does steak. In fact, broccoli, kale, and romaine lettuce contain more of every healthy nutrient on the list. Steak does, however, win when it comes to cholesterol and saturated fat, as it contains large amounts of these substances, while the plant foods contain zero. To see the complete chart, please visit drfurman.com/ETL graphics. Now, which has more vitamin E or vitamin C? Broccoli or steak? I'm sure you're aware that steak has no vitamin C or vitamin E. It is also almost totally lacking in fiber, folate, vitamin A, beta-carotene, lutein, lycopene, vitamin K, flavonoids, and thousands of other protective phytochemicals. Meat does have certain vitamins and minerals, but even when we consider the nutrients that meat does contain, broccoli has lots more of them. For many important nutrients, broccoli has more than 10 times as much as steak. The only exception is vitamin B12, which is not found in plant fare. When you consider the fiber, phytochemicals, and other essential nutrients, green vegetables win the award for being the most nutrient-dense of all foods. We will give greens a score of 100 and judge all other foods against this criterion. The secret of extreme longevity. Interestingly, there is one food that scientific research has shown has a strong positive association with increased longevity in humans. So which food do you think that is? The answer is raw, leafy greens, normally referred to as salad. Leafy greens such as romaine lettuce, kale, collards, Swiss chard, and spinach are the most nutrient-dense of all foods. Most vegetables contain more nutrients per calorie than any other food and are rich in all necessary amino acids. For example, romaine lettuce, which gets 18% of its calories from fat and almost 50% of its calories from protein, is a rich powerhouse with hundreds of cancer-fighting phytonutrients that protect us from a variety of threatening illnesses. Being healthy and owning a disease-resistant body is not luck. It is earned. In a review of 206 human population studies, raw vegetable consumption showed the strongest protective effect against cancer of any beneficial food. However, fewer than 1 in 100 Americans consumes enough calories from vegetation to ensure this defense. I tell my patients to put a big sign on their refrigerator that says, "The salad is the main dish." The word salad here means any vegetable, eaten raw or uncooked, e.g., a bowl of cold pasta and olive oil with a token vegetable is not a salad. I encourage my patients to eat two huge salads a day, with the goal of consuming an entire head of romaine or other green lettuce daily. I suggest that you go and make the sign and tape it to your fridge now, and then come back. If you plan on doing it later, you may forget. If you learn but one practical habit from this book, let it be this one. Green salad is less than 100 calories per pound. Did you notice that 100 calories of broccoli is about 12 ounces of food and 100 calories of ground sirloin is just 1 ounce of food? With green vegetables, you can get filled up, even stuffed, yet you will not be consuming excess calories. Animal products, on the other hand, are calorie dense and relatively low in nutrients, especially the crucial anti-cancer nutrients. What would happen if you attempted to eat like a mountain gorilla, which eats about 80% of its diet from green leaves and about 15% from fruit? Assuming you are a female, who needs about 1,600 calories a day, if you attempted to get 1,200 of those calories from greens, you would need to eat over 15 pounds of greens. That is quite a big salad. Since your stomach can only hold about 1 liter of food, or a little over a quart, you would have a problem fitting it all in. You would surely get lots of protein from this gorilla diet. In fact, with just 5 pounds of greens, you would exceed the recommended daily allowance, RDA, for protein and would get loads of other important nutrients. The problem with this gorilla diet is that you would develop a calorie deficiency. You would become too thin. Believe it or not, I do not expect you to eat exactly like a gorilla. However, the message to take home is that the more of these healthy green vegetables, both raw and cooked, you eat, the healthier you will be and the thinner you will become. Now let's contrast this silly and extreme gorilla example with another silly and extreme way of eating, the American diet. If you attempt to follow the perverted diet that most Americans eat, or even if you follow the precise recommendations of the USDA's pyramid, 8 to 11 servings of bread, cereal, rice, and pasta, consumed as 98% refined grains by Americans, with 4 to 6 servings of dairy, meat, poultry, or fish, you would be eating a diet rich in calories but extremely low in nutrients, and low in antioxidants, low in phytochemicals, and low in vitamins. You would be overfed and malnourished, the precise nutritional profile that causes heart disease and cancer. Weighing foods and trying to eat smaller portions is futile. Earlier, I compared 100 calories of greens with 100 calories of meat. I did not contrast them by weight or by portion size, as is more customary. I compared equal caloric portions, because it is meaningless to compare foods by weight or portion size. Let me provide an example to explain why this is the case. Take 1 teaspoon of melted butter, which gets 100% of its calories from fat. If I take that teaspoon of butter and mix it in a glass of hot water, I can now say that it is 98% fat-free by weight. 100% of its calories are still from fat. It doesn't matter how much water or weight is added, does it? In fact, if a food's weight were important, it would be easy to lose weight. We would just have to drink more water. The water would trigger the weight receptors in the digestive tract, and our appetite would diminish. Unfortunately, this is not the way our body's apostat, the brain center in the hypothalamus that controls food intake, is controlled. As explained in Chapter 1, bulk, calories, and nutrient fulfillment, not the weight of the food, turn off our apostat. Since the foods Americans consume are so calorie-rich, we have all been trying to diet by eating small portions of low-nutrient foods. We not only have to suffer hunger, but also wind up with perverted cravings because we are nutrient-deficient to boot. We must consume a certain level of calories daily to feel satisfied. So now I ask you to completely rethink what you consider a typical portion and size. To achieve superior health and a permanently thin physique, you should eat large portions of green foods. When considering any green plant food, remember to make the portion size huge by conventional standards. Eating large portions of these super healthy foods is the key to your success. The nutrient weight Conflabulation. Nutrient weight ratios hide how nutrient-deficient processed food is and make animal-source food look not so fatty. Could this be why the food industry and the USDA chose this method? Could it be a conspiracy to have consumers not realize what they are really eating? For example, a Burger King bacon double cheeseburger is clearly not a low-fat food. If we calculate its percentage of fat by weight and include the ketchup in the bun, we can accurately state that it is only 18% fat, over 80% fat-free. However, as a percentage of calories, it is 54% fat, and the hamburger patty alone is 68% fat. McDonald's McLean Deluxe Burger was advertised in the early 1990s as 91% fat-free using the same numbers trick, when in fact 49% of its calories came from fat. Likewise, so-called low-fat 2% milk is not really 2% fat. 35% of its calories come from fat. They can call it 98% fat-free by weight only because of its water content. Low-fat milk is not a low-fat product at all, and neither are low-fat cheeses and other low-fat animal foods when you recalculate their fat on a per-calorie percentage basis. This is just a sad trick played on Americans. Incidentally, 49% of the calories in whole milk come from fat. The U.S. Department of Meat, Milk, and Cheese. Using weight instead of calories in nutrient analysis tables has evolved into a ploy to hide how nutritionally unsound many foods are. The role of the USDA was originally to promote the products of the animal agriculture industry. Over 50 years ago, the USDA began promoting the so-called four basic food groups, with meat and dairy products in the number one and two spots on the list. Financed by the meat and dairy industry and backed by nutritional scientists on the payroll of the meat and dairy industry, this promotion ignored science. This program could be more accurately labeled, quote, the four food myths. It was taught in every classroom in America, with posters advocating a diet loaded with animal protein, fat, and cholesterol. The results of this fraudulent program were dramatic in more ways than one. Americans began eating more and more animal foods. The campaign sparked the beginning of the fastest-growing cancer epidemic in history, and heart attack rates soared to previously unheard-of levels. For years and years, the USDA resisted lowering cholesterol and dietary fat recommendations in spite of the irrefutable evidence that Americans were committing suicide with food. Heavy political pressure, lobbyists, and money blocked the path to change. Promoting nutrient analysis of foods by weight instead of by calorie became a great way to keep excess calories, cholesterol, and saturated fat in the diet, a terrific strategy to create a nation with an epidemic of obesity, heart disease, and cancer. A foreign enemy out to destroy America could not have devised a more effective an insidious plot. How ironic that this was the program designed by our own government, promoted with our own tax dollars, and justified on the ground that it served the public interest. With all the scientific data available today, including massive investigational studies on human health and diet, you would think that people would know which foods are best to eat and why. But most people are still confused about diet and nutrition. Why? Part of the problem is that most of us are slow to make changes, especially when they involve personal habits and family traditions. Most people do not embrace change. They are more comfortable with familiarity and cling to long-held but incorrect information. In spite of a vast increase in nutritional information, much of it is contradictory and has led to only more confusion. Our government spends over $20 billion on price supports that benefit the dairy, beef, and veal industries. This money is given to farmers to artificially reduce the cost of crops used to feed cows, thereby helping to reduce the prices we pay for dairy foods, fowl, and meat. Fruits and vegetables grown primarily for human consumption are specifically excluded from USDA price supports. Out of one pocket, we pay billions of our tax dollars to support the production of expensive, disease-causing foods. Out of the other pocket, we pay medical bills that are too high because our overweight population consumes too much of these rich, disease-causing foods. Our tax dollars are actually used to make our society sicker and keep our health insurance costs high. The food pyramids that will turn you into a mummy. The USDA food pyramid was in place until 2005, when it was replaced with My Pyramid. My Pyramid includes 12 intake levels from 1,000 calories per day to 3,200 calories per day, and is designed to help consumers find the right caloric balance. The My Pyramid recommendations for a 2,000 calorie diet are grains, 6 ounces daily, vegetables, 5 servings or 2.5 cups daily, fruits, 4 servings or 2 cups daily, oil, 6 teaspoons daily, milk, 3 cups daily, meat and beans, 5.5 ounces daily. Since early childhood, we have been bombarded with incorrect nutritional dietary advice, and unfortunately, the scandal continues today. Even after decades of scientific research refuting its recommendations, the latest USDA recommendation, My Pyramid, is only a slight improvement. While the recommended servings of vegetables and fruits have been increased and exercises recommended, it still reinforces the deadly dietary errors that people have become accustomed to making. The food pyramid endorses a level of animal food consumption that causes the diseases that kill us, heart attacks and cancer. Foods also are grouped in ways that don't make sense. Meat and beans are in the same food group because they are considered protein-rich foods. Nuts and seeds are not even shown. However, while nuts, seeds, and beans have been shown to reduce cholesterol levels and heart disease risk, meat is linked to increased risk. My pyramid would lead people to believe that milk should be consumed on a daily basis. Including milk as its own very prominent group implies that it is an essential part of a healthy diet, which is anything but the truth, especially with the strong association of milk with prostate cancer. The pyramid offers little help for those really wanting to reduce their health risks. This is an exercise in political correctness, not nutritional science. Could it be possible that the USDA continues to be unduly influenced by political pressure exerted by food industry groups? A pyramid based on science and science alone would have to place vegetables at the foundation. After many years of our population being advised to increase its consumption of produce, half of all Americans still don't eat 3 vegetable servings a day. That total even includes those heart attack-causing foods that are fried in trans fats, French fries, and potato chips. On any given day, no fruit whatsoever passes the lips of half of all Americans. In 2010, the National Cancer Institute budgeted about $4 million to promote the virtues of fruits and vegetables. Compare that with McDonald's $1.2 billion spent on U.S. marketing. The major cause of all diseases afflicting Americans today is a produce-deficient diet. Based on an exhaustive look at research data from around the world over the past 15 years, my recommendation is that your diet should contain over 90% of calories from unrefined plant foods. This high percentage of nutrient-dense plant foods in the diet allows us to predict freedom from cancer, heart attacks, diabetes, and excess body weight. Fruits, vegetables, and beans must be the base of your food pyramid. Otherwise, you will be in a heap of trouble down the road. The diseases that afflict and eventually kill almost all Americans can be avoided. You can live a high-quality, disease-free life and remain physically active and healthy. You can die peacefully and uneventfully at an old age, as nature intended. To achieve the results in preventing and reversing disease and attaining a permanent healthy body weight, we must be concerned with the nutritional quality of our diet. The picture is becoming crystal clear. The key to what will make you thin will also make you healthy. Once you learn to eat to live. Thinness and health will walk hand in hand, happily ever after. Chapter 4. The Dark Side of Animal Protein. Case Study. Rebecca lost over 320 pounds and found sound nutrition and restored energy. I saw Dr. Furman on TV in 2003 and became really fired up about his eating program. I told my friend, who was so thrilled that I was showing concern for my health, that she bought me a copy of Eat to Live. I read the book from cover to cover. To this day, I still carry it with me. It is my second Bible. I really live by the book. Passages are underlined, notes are in the margins, etc. Yes, I experienced headaches and cravings the first 5 to 7 days, but because I could eat without weighing food or counting calories, I felt it was an even exchange. After a few weeks, I truly felt energized. My poor body was getting some sound nutrition. I did not get weighed before I began the program, but I estimate that I weighed about 482 pounds. During the first 8 weeks, I lost 72 pounds. From that moment on, I never looked back. Week after week, I continued to lose weight. 8.5 months later, I had lost a total of 133 pounds. By the following year, I had lost another 100 pounds and another 50 pounds by the next year. As I approach my ideal weight, the weight is coming off more slowly. I now belong to a gym and have incorporated walking and weight training into my weekly routine. Today, I embrace my new high-nutrient eating lifestyle. I don't eat cheese, bread of any type, rice or pasta. I eat to live. People are confused when they see how I eat, questioning how I can eat so much and still lose weight, or how I am satisfied eating a plant-based diet. My own family doctor is amazed at my transformation. Yes, my life has changed. Before I committed to losing weight, the bigger I became, the more invisible I became. I went from a world of being all alone with a good friend or two who saw the real me hiding under all that weight, to this world of so many people. I'm still adjusting to this, too, as it can be overwhelming. Previously, I shopped late at night to avoid people who made comments during normal shopping hours. I bought clothes from big women's magazines. The clothes had no style and were just big, baggy dresses. I avoided restaurants. I could not fit in a booth, and having a chair pulled to the end of the table was so embarrassing. I could never use a public bathroom because I could not fit in the stall. I owe my life to the Eat to Live lifestyle. Dr. Furman saved me from literally eating myself to death. How grateful and blessed I am. Whatever lies ahead, I am ready for it. One day, we hear the high-fat diet causes cancer, and the next day, a study shows that those on low-fat diets do not have lower cancer rates. The public is so confused and fed up that they just eat anything, and the number of overweight people continues to grow. How much do you know about nutrition? True or false? 1. We need milk to get enough calcium to protect us against osteoporosis. 2. A diet high in protein is healthy. 3. The best source of protein is animal foods such as meat, chicken, eggs, fish, and dairy. 4. Plant foods do not have complete protein. To get adequate protein from a plant-based diet, you should combine certain foods to make sure you receive a complete complement of the necessary amino acids at each meal. 6. We can protect ourselves against cancer by switching to low-fat animal foods such as chicken, fish, and skim milk, and by omitting red meat. For answers to these true or false questions, listen further. The China Project. Fortunately, evidence from a massive series of scientific investigations has shed some light on the confusion. The China Cornell Oxford Project is the most comprehensive study on the connection between diet and disease in medical history. The New York Times called this investigation, quote, the Grand Prix of all epidemiological studies, and quote, the most comprehensive large study ever undertaken of the relationship between diet and the risk of developing disease, end quote. Spearheaded by T. Colin Campbell, Ph.D. of Cornell University, this study has made discoveries that have turned the nutritional community upside down. To the surprise of many, the China Project has revealed many so-called nutritional facts as demonstrably false. For example, the answer to all the nutrition quiz questions above is false. China was an ideal testing ground for this comprehensive project because the people in one area of China ate a certain diet and the people just a few hundred miles away may have eaten a completely different diet. Unlike in the West, where we all eat very similarly, rural China was a, quote, living laboratory for studying the complex relationship between diet and disease. The China Project was valid because it studied populations with a full range of dietary possibilities, from a completely plant food diet to diets that included a significant amount of animal foods. Adding small quantities of a variable is how scientists can best detect the risk or value of a dietary practice. It's the same principle as comparing non-smokers with those who smoke half a pack a day to best observe the dangers of smoking. Comparing a 50-cigarette-per-day habit with a 60-cigarette-per-day habit may not reveal much more additional damage from those last 10 cigarettes. In China, people lived their entire lives in the towns they were born in and rarely migrated, so the dietary effects that researchers looked at were present for the subjects' entire lives. Furthermore, as a result of significant regional differences in the way people ate, there were dramatic differences in the prevalence of disease from region to region. Cardiovascular disease rates varied 20-fold from one place to another, and certain cancer rates varied by several hundred-fold. In America, there is little difference in the way we eat. Therefore, we do not see a 100-fold difference in cancer rates between one town and another. Fascinating findings were made in this study. The data showed huge differences in disease rates based on the amount of plant foods eaten and availability of animal products. Researchers found that as the amount of animal foods increased in the diet, even in relatively small increments, so did the emergence of the cancers that are common in the West. Most cancers occurred in direct proportion to the quantity of animal foods consumed. In other words, as animal food consumption approached zero, cancer rates fell. Areas of the country with an extremely low consumption of animal foods were virtually free of heart attacks and cancer. An analysis of the mortality data from 65 counties and 130 villages showed a significant association with animal protein intake, even at relatively low levels and heart attacks, with a strong protective effect from the consumption of green vegetables. All animal products are low or completely lacking in the nutrients that protect us against cancer and heart attacks: fiber, antioxidants, phytochemicals, folate, vitamin E, and plant proteins. They are rich in substances that scientific investigations have shown to be associated with cancer and heart disease incidence: saturated fat, cholesterol, and arachidonic acid. Diets rich in animal protein are also associated with high blood levels of the hormone IGF-1, which is a known risk factor for several types of cancer. The China Project showed a strong correlation between cancer and the amount of animal protein, not just animal fat, consumed. Consumption of lean meats and poultry still showed a strong correlation with higher cancer incidence. These findings indicate that even low-fat animal foods, such as skinless white meat chicken, are implicated in certain cancers. Heart health. It's not just fat and cholesterol. There was also a relationship between animal protein and heart disease. For example, plasma apolipoprotein B is associated with animal protein intake and inversely associated, or lowered, with vegetable protein intake, e.g., legumes and greens. Apolipoprotein B levels correlate strongly with coronary heart disease. Unknown to many is that animal protein has a significant effect on raising cholesterol levels as well, while plant protein lowers it. Scientific studies provide evidence that animal proteins' effect on blood cholesterol may be significant. This is one of the reasons those switching to a low-fat diet do not experience the cholesterol lowering they expect unless they also remove the low-fat animal products as well. Surprising to most people is that, yes, even low-fat dairy and skinless white meat chicken raise cholesterol. I see this regularly in my practice. Many individuals do not see the dramatic drop in cholesterol levels unless they go all the way by cutting all animal protein from their diet. Red meat is not the only problem. The consumption of chicken and fish is also linked to colon cancer. A large study examined the eating habits of 32,000 adults for 6 years and then watched the incidence of cancer for these subjects over the next 6 years. Those who avoided red meat but ate white meat regularly had a more than 300% increase over those who ate no white meat in colon cancer incidence. The same study showed that eating beans, peas, or lentils at least twice a week was associated with a 50% lower risk than never eating these foods. Chicken has about the same amount of cholesterol as beef, and the production of those potent cancer-causing compounds called heterocyclic amines, HCAs, is even more concentrated in grilled chicken than in beef. Another study from New Zealand that investigated heterocyclic amines in meat, fish, and chicken found the greatest contributor of HCAs to cancer risk was chicken. Likewise, studies indicate that chicken is almost as dangerous as red meat for the heart. Regarding cholesterol, there is no advantage to eating lean white instead of lean red meat. The best bet for overall health is to significantly limit or eliminate all types of meat, red and white. Dr. Campbell further explains his view that animal protein, in addition to animal fats, is implicated in disease causation. I really believe that dietary protein, both the kind and the amount, is more significant, as far as cholesterol levels are concerned, than is saturated fat. Certainly, it is more significant than dietary cholesterol. We do know that animal protein has a quick and major impact on enzymes involved in the metabolism of cholesterol. Whether it is the immune system, various enzyme systems, the uptake of carcinogens into the cells, or hormonal activities, animal protein generally only causes mischief. End quote. It may be impossible to extricate which component of animal food causes the most mischief. However, it is clear that while Americans struggle in vain to even marginally reduce the amount of fat in their diet, they still consume high levels of animal products and very little unrefined produce. Cholesterol levels can be decreased by reducing both saturated fat and animal protein while eating more plant protein. Remember, those countries and areas of China with extremely low rates of Western diseases did not achieve them merely because their diets were low in fat. It was because their diets were rich in unrefined plant products. They were not eating fat-free cheesecake and potato chips. Never forget that coronary artery disease and its end result, heart attacks, the number one killer of all American men and women, are almost 100% avoidable. Poring over nation-by-nation mortality data collected by the World Health Organization, I found that most of the poorer countries, which invariably consume small amounts of animal products, have less than 5% of the adult population dying of heart attacks. The China Project confirmed that there were virtually no heart attacks in populations that consume a lifelong near-vegetarian diet, and almost no heart attacks in populations consuming a diet that is rich in natural plant foods and receives less than 10% of its calories from animal foods. My observation of the worldwide data is supported by studies of American vegetarians and non-vegetarians. These studies show that the major risk factors associated with heart disease, smoking, physical inactivity, eating processed food, and animal product consumption, are avoidable. Every heart attack death is even more of a tragedy because it likely could have been prevented. Understanding the conflicting and confusing cancer studies. The China Project data also helps explain findings from the Nurses' Health Study in Boston, which showed that American women who reduced their fat intake surprisingly did not have a decreased risk of breast cancer. First of all, those on the lower fat diet consume 29% of their calories from fat. This is still a high fat diet, by my standards, and even higher than the group with the highest fat intake in China. It's like cutting back on smoking from 3 packs a day to 2 and expecting to get a significant decrease in lung cancer risk. By the way, the lowest fat group in China, whose diet was almost entirely composed of plants, was getting 6% of their calories from fat, and the high fat group in China consumed about 24% of their calories from fat. Second, these women who reported eating less fat in the Nurses' Health Study actually consumed just as much as or more calories from animal protein than those on the higher fat diet, and the amount of unrefined plant produce did not increase. The low-fat group in China was not eating anywhere near the quantity of processed foods that we do in America. Their cancer rates were so low, not solely because the diet was low in fat and animal protein, but also because, unlike Americans, they actually ate lots of vegetables. Generally speaking, the reason the evidence from the China Project is so compelling is that results from population studies in the West are not very accurate. They generally study adults who have made some moderate dietary change later in life, and all subjects are past the age when dietary influence has the most effect. Certain cancers, such as breast and prostate cancer, are strongly influenced by how we eat earlier in life, especially right before and after puberty. After studying multiple diseases, not just one type of cancer, the researchers involved in the China Project concluded, "There appears to be no threshold of plant food enrichment or minimization of animal product intake beyond which further disease prevention does not occur." These findings suggest that even moderate intakes of foods of animal origin are associated with significant increases in plasma cholesterol concentration, which are associated in turn with significant increases in chronic degenerative disease mortality rates. In other words, populations with very low cholesterol levels have not only low heart disease rates, but low cancer rates as well. The insight provided by the research is simple. As long as Americans continue to practice nutritional indifference, they will suffer the consequences. Don't expect any significant protection from marginal changes. Cancer is a fruit and vegetable deficiency disease. Fruits and vegetables are the two foods with the best correlation with longevity in humans. Not whole wheat bread, not bran, not even a vegetarian diet shows as powerful a correlation as a high level of fresh fruit and raw green salad consumption. The National Cancer Institute recently reported on 337 different studies that all showed the same basic information. 1. Vegetables and fruits protect against all types of cancers if consumed in large enough quantities. Hundreds of scientific studies document this. The most prevalent cancers in our country are mostly plant food deficiency diseases. 2. Raw vegetables have the most powerful anti-cancer properties of all foods. 3. Studies on the cancer-reducing effects of vitamin pills containing various nutrients such as folate, vitamin C, and vitamin E give mixed reviews. Sometimes they show a slight benefit, but most show no benefit. Occasionally, studies show that taking isolated nutrients is harmful, as was discussed in Chapter 3 regarding beta-carotene. 4. Beans in general, not just soy, have additional anti-cancer benefits against reproductive cancers, such as breast and prostate cancer. Most Americans would prefer to take a pill so they could continue eating what they are accustomed to. Can you imagine a pill made by a pharmaceutical company that could reduce cancer rates by 80% or more? Wouldn't that be the most financially successful pharmaceutical product of all time? You would be crazy not to take this life-extending gift. The anti-cancer and disease-protective qualities of food demonstrate the crux of the failure of modern medicine. After billions and billions of dollars allocated and donated to cancer research, we have nothing to show for it. We are losing the war on cancer because we are on an incessant search for the impossible to find cure, when in fact removing the causes is the only way to win. You can close this book and put it away right now as long as you can incorporate this crucial dietary change into your life. Consume high levels of fruits, green vegetables, and beans. This is the key to both weight loss and better health. Exactly how much veggies and beans you need to eat and how to incorporate them into your diet and make them taste great are covered in Chapter 8. A vegetarian diet is no guarantee of good health. People who omit meat, fowl, and dairy, but fill up on bread, pasta, pretzels, bagels, rice cakes, and crackers may be on a low-fat diet, but because their diet is also low in vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, important essential fatty acids, and fiber, it is conspicuously inadequate and should not be expected to protect against cancer. Additionally, because these refined grains are low in fiber, they do not make you feel full until after you have taken in too many calories from them. In other words, both their nutrient-to-calorie and nutrient-to-fiber ratios are extremely low. Let me repeat this again to be clear. Following a strict vegetarian diet is not as important as eating a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. A vegetarian whose diet is mainly refined grains, cold breakfast cereals, processed health food store products, vegetarian fast foods, white rice, and pasta will be worse off than a person who eats a little chicken or eggs, for example, but consumes a large amount of fruits, vegetables, and beans. Studies have confirmed this. Multiple studies have shown that vegetarians live quite a bit longer than non-vegetarians do. But when we take a close look at the data, it appears that those who weren't as strict had longevity statistics that were equally impressive as long as they consumed a high volume of a variety of unrefined plant foods. Remember, long-term vegans, strict vegetarians who consume no dairy or other foods of animal origin, almost never get heart attacks. If you have heart disease or a strong family history of heart disease, you should consider avoiding all animal-based products. To quote a respected authority, William Castelli, MD, director of the famed Framingham Heart Study in Massachusetts, quote, "We tend to scoff at vegetarians, but they're doing much better than we are. Vegans have cholesterol levels so low they almost never get heart attacks. Their average blood cholesterol is about 125, and we've never seen anyone in the Framingham study have a heart attack with a level below 150. End quote. The research shows that those who avoid meat and dairy have lower rates of heart disease, cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity. The data is conclusive. Vegetarians live longer in America, probably a lot longer. How much longer do vegetarians live? This is a difficult question to answer accurately, as there are few studies on lifelong vegetarians in countries with electricity, refrigeration, good sanitation, and adequate nutrition. American studies conducted in 1984 on Seventh-day Adventists, a religious group that provides dietary and lifestyle advice to its members, shed some light on this issue. Adventist leadership discourages the consumption of meat, fowl, and eggs. Pork is prohibited. Because eating animal products is only discouraged and not necessarily prohibited, there is a large range in animal product consumption. Some Adventists never eat meat and eggs, whereas others consume them daily. When we take a careful look at the Seventh-day Adventist data, those who lived the longest were those following the vegetarian diet the longest, and when we look at the subset who had followed a vegetarian diet for at least half their life, it appears they lived about 13 years longer than their average, non-smoking, Californian counterparts. Most of the participants in this study were converted to the religion, not born into it. There was no data on those following such a diet since childhood. However, the data from this carefully constructed study was compelling, and what is of considerable interest to me is the association of green salad consumption and longer life. Leafy greens, the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet, were the best predictor of extreme longevity. Some nutritional experts would argue that a strict vegetarian who follows a diet rich in natural vegetation